Swing for the fences with the Fence Authority. They've been providing the Delaware Valley with fences for almost 3 decades. With 4 stores throughout the region and one of the largest inventories of wood, vinyl, and aluminum fencing, the Fence Authority makes your next fence as easy as 1, 2, 3. Do it yourself or get it installed with the best workmanship warranties in the country. So swing for the fences at the Fence Authority. Your new fence is waiting at fenceauthority.com.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringue-a-tang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All fellows with monkey sounds in there and called good.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon. Hey, welcome in. Happy Friday, Danny and Dusty with you on this great, beautiful Friday afternoon in the Rose City. How's everybody doing today?
It's Friday.
What?
It's Friday.
Sounding white for a thousand.
There you go,
Alex.
Hum, babe.
All right. All right. Will Ortner's still in the seat. Do you just live here now, Will?
I basically do.
Oh, I have a question for you.
Maybe.
A couple of weeks ago, there was a stack of blankets over on that couch over
there.
Not mine. That wasn't you living here?
No, not mine. I have a comforter. That's about it.
Well, so you do live here?
Not here. I have a comforter. I'm a one blanket guy.
Look, there have been internal conversations here as to whether or not you actually just live here now and you just lay low for a while. Like, you go probably just back in that storage room where there used to just be stacks of Celsius back in that room.
Yeah, what happened to those?
I would not.
I drank them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. At your home.
For tax purposes, I do not live in the studio.
Okay, now it's coming. Because it's about taxes. I could see this happening. I could see, because anybody that's stuck running like a board shift at night, it's going to be Ortner. Because he's team never say no, which mm-hmm. is a great quality to have. Great quality to have.
That's how it works here.
You put me on to that.
Yeah, never say no.
In this world, that's how it works.
Just say, yep, I'm in. Let's go. So, if you are team never say no, I think what you have become privy to is nobody is here after 5 p.m. It's only Isaac, Suk, Buck. That's it.
Yeah. It's a ghost town.
It really is. So, those guys, if you are bebopping around this place at 7 o'clock, whatever, because you got nowhere else to go, they're not going to bat an eye. They're just going to be like, oh, Ortner's here probably to do something, run a Pilots game or Oregon baseball or something.
I think most people don't know who I am. I've done a pretty good job of keeping a low profile.
Yeah.
I think that if you showed like a lineup of 4 people,
mm-hmm.
maybe 5, all bald men,
yeah.
all with beards,
mm-hmm.
all around my size,
mm-hmm.
I think that the office might go 50%.
I think, yep, you're probably right.
I think that like right. engineering, Joey's going to know who I am.
Yeah.
1080 people are going to know who mm-hmm. I am. I think you start getting into the other side of the office.
Here's my other part of
this. I don't know.
I feel like you have gotten in tight with Joey And Joey would just be like, engineering Joey would just be like, yeah, whatever. I don't care. Don't bother me. But you don't have a dumb question for me? Move along.
Yeah.
I don't care. I don't care what's happening here. So I feel like you do live here because there's showers here.
Nope.
There's lockers that have locks on them, but I don't know who is locking their stuff up here.
I think it's Sook.
There is somebody.
That's exactly what somebody would say.
Yeah.
That is living Sook here and locking all their clothes in the locker.
I'm not at all.
Because if anybody got into that locker and they'd be like, oh, this is like XL, double XL, they'd be like, oh, this is probably Sook's stuff. No, it could also be Ortner's stuff, and I know the game that you're playing here.
Not double XL anymore.
I feel like you live here.
I don't. I promise you,
There's free cable. There's couches. It's downtown.
No, but again, taxes. You're not thinking about property taxes.
Dude, Ortner lives here.
You're not thinking about property taxes.
I am, because I learned that you pay them here recently. I'm learning about taxes.
What you need to start learning about is squatter's rights. Well, and you could own this damn place.
From my understanding of squatter's rights, I don't know that I want to squat here. I'm going to squat at a nicer spot.
Nah, you're working your way up. You're learning.
Whoa, you're squatting in a nicer spot? This place is worth a couple million bucks.
Like a condo. Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Oh. Right.
You're not finding many. Like, I don't know if you've noticed, the tent cities have moved around here. They're not nearly as prevalent anymore.
I feel like.
Probably going up.
I feel like I'm onto something. And I'm glad that you're here today and we can broach this topic because...
We can go to the tape.
We do have the tape.
You should not go to the tape.
He lives here.
He lives here.
100% he
It's
lives
a lot
here.
Of me walking around in my socks.
What'd you have for dinner last night? Oh, that almond roca in the kitchen.
Yeah, I was like, that's weird. That's just... More condiments that keep appearing in the fridge, and nobody knows who they are, and the almond roca keeps going down.
Look, for a young guy, there's worse places to be.
Oh, God, yes.
You know? You just got to be out of the way. And there's plenty of places that
you got a kitchen.
You got a kitchen. You've got cable, couches, bathroom, shower here. No. I mean, you never do your laundry anyways, so your mom can still do that.
Whoa. I do my own laundry. How dare you? I take offense to that. That's one of the few household chores I do.
Ah, congratulations. But you could still go up, go home, and do your laundry, you know? I'm on to you, Ortner.
Dude, I would love for you to set up the cameras around here and like actually take a peek and see what I'm like on a Pilots game. It's a lot of scrolling Instagram and X.
Yeah, well, you can do that. You can do that here while you're sleeping in the break room. I'm on to you.
It's been a lot of me this week. I get it.
All right. No, hey, I'm here for it. More Ortner in my life. I'm all for. Yes, 100%. All right. Well, we got a lot that we got to get to today. How are you? You came in screaming.
Yeah, no, I had to fly.
Not literally this time.
No, no.
Because
no.
Sometimes you literally do come in screaming.
Yeah.
Like the time you almost killed someone in our parking lot. But this time you were just like hustling.
Hustling, hauling. I was going to be here in my normal time. I would have probably been here about 11:05 and been totally fine.
Okay.
But I got stuck in Newburgh for about 10 minutes. And if you live over there, you know that that's crazy stupid pedestrian bridge is getting put in Sherwood. And I just thought, oh, you know, they were doing it last night when I came home from the game. They're probably finishing something up there and it's backing some things up because it's a big stupid bridge and they have to shut down the road for periods to do that. I was like, whatever. Maybe I'll be a few minutes later than usual. No, there was a massive accident in between Newburgh and Sherwood.
That's no good.
Yeah. And after sitting there for about 15 minutes, I got close enough and, you know, a bunch of paramedics and firefighters went by and I was like, I saw it and I was like, oh crap. So I had to double back all the way through, you know, I was, you know, a few minutes from Sherwood, back through Newburgh, go out through Donald, Aurora, and then get on I-5 and boogie up that way. I may or may not have been going speed limit, but
that's okay.
I made it here with about 15 minutes to spare.
I'm glad you told us your exact route that you took to get here.
Well, I had to,
you could have probably left it with went back roads.
Yeah. I had to double back. Very precise. Very precise. But no, it was not the way that I planned on starting my day. My day was very, very normal. I packed my lunch, had a nice little good start to the morning, and did a bunch of cooking the other day. I was like, all right, cool. I'm going to make sure I grab my lunch. Because that's the biggest problem I have, even when I meal prep.
Uh-huh.
I will meal prep and I will leave my freaking lunch at home. I'm just the biggest dummy ever.
Yeah.
I hate it when I do that.
I think that is pretty common. I think it's pretty common.
I even have like the little portion trays all like ready to go. Like I put like three of them in the fridge. They're ready. And I just...
You don't have, like, set out the reminder thing? Like, because if I... Anytime I'm bringing something, you have the reminder on the counter, and you're like, ah, got it.
The best place to hide something from me is right in front of my face.
Fair enough.
I just...
Fair enough.
You ever open the fridge and be like, hey, have you seen the... Or the pantry, or like, hey, where's the... And then it's... You go back, and your significant other's like, right here in front of your face. Because that happens to me a lot.
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah, so...
All the time.
I'll open the fridge and you know, grab my morning energy drink and then close the door and not.
Wait, your morning energy drink? How many do you have in a day?
Three.
You have three energy drinks in a day?
Two here and then one on the way.
Your heart is going to explode.
Heart go burr.
It will explode. That, I don't think that there's a doctor around that'll be like, yeah, you know what? That's what you need to get going. Three every day, and they're the big old monster guys?
Yeah, well, they're sugar-free, so they're not the sugar.
It's totally healthy, yeah. Then. Never mind.
It's just the caffeine.
Wow!
Was it 200 milligrams? I think it's 200.
No wonder you can't sleep at night.
Doctors recommend 400. Like, that's the max.
Yeah, so, where are we going?
400 is the
and
max.
And so by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, You've had 750?
No, this one's 200, so 600.
Okay, so 600?
600.
I thought you said 250.
No.
Okay.
It might actually be less. I think these ones are a little bit less. I think they're like 180.
I think monsters are 150.
Woof. All right.
They vary.
So just a 50 over the max.
Yeah.
Then. Yeah.
And come on. No, 100. 150. Yeah, 150.
Yeah, so 150. 300, so only 50 yeah. over. Yeah. I mean, look. Caffeine is an addictive chemical.
Mm-hmm. And when I took that 23andMe test, one of the things it said is like it was significantly more likely to have more caffeine.
Well, I think that may have been the you live in America. They're like, we're just going to slide that one. And that's kind of a cover all for all Americans.
Oh, my wife took it too, and she did not have that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So. Oh. Well, how do you feel about 23andMe going bankrupt and now all of your information is for sale?
Didn't BlackRock buy it?
Did they really?
Yeah, I thought BlackRock bought it.
Boy, are you a little concerned about about that? No.
I've got a 38-page security report on me from when I was in the Air Force. They know everything about me.
Well, they need to update that a little bit more.
Yeah. No,
I mean, they could just listen to the program and they'll be...
Yeah. I mean, look, man, when you have to duck walk across a tile cave butt naked in front of 80-year-old doctors and they've poked and prodded every part of you, you just don't care anymore.
That's nice and clean. I'm going to need that. Just... I mean, you can have one solid drop of that. You can have a bunch of little ones. There's a lot to
it's just
take in on that,
look, I mean,
what you just said
you
there.
You can't have any shame at that point. And it's just, everything that anybody ever wanted to know about me is in some file somewhere already.
Yeah.
So it's like, whatever, dude. I don't. Mm.
Yeah. All right.
And look, I'm not saying that everybody's like that. I understand people who want to protect that. And my stuff's already out there, man.
Look, I'm just worried people are going to clone my perfection, you know? Mm. Take that DNA.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, use my DNA. Have a bunch of soldiers where their knees and hips explode. I can't figure it out. We got these short-legged monsters, and their legs keep blowing up.
What if you get framed for a murder you didn't commit?
I mean, come on.
Okay. You're like, I didn't do that one.
Come on. I'll very easily be like, no.
It's amazing some of the stuff I've seen on the internet, though, of like people are like, well, now if they just sell my DNA, now it's going to plant me. Government's going to plant, and they're gonna frame me for a crime I did not commit.
What was the Mark Wahlberg shooter when they've got Michael Pena? They've got him in the boathouse with the self-assisted gun.
Yeah, wait, Michael Pena.
Love him as a character actor.
Very underrated.
Yes.
Michael Pena has got a really good catalog. He
Brother, I love his stupid, crazy character in Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Just so much fun.
Yeah, he's got some really good, he's got some stinkers on there.
Mm-hmm.
He does, he's got some
stinkers. He does a lot of things. Like, he's like Steve Buscemi. Just says yes to everything.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Because he's got some really good ones, like Ant-Man, where he's Luis in Ant-Man, mm-hmm. right? He's got the movie Crash, American Hustle he's in.
I forgot about that.
End of Watch, Eastbound and Down. He's the owner of the Mexican League team that Kenny Powers goes and pitches in. He's got some good ones. I like him a lot.
Does he have an Oscar nom?
Oh.
I feel like he has a weird Oscar nom.
Awards, 13 wins, 9 nominations total. Now, when you go to IMDb and you go down there, it's like, okay. But none of them are Teen Choice, so.
There you go.
You got that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to. No Oscars in here that I see.
Not even a nom?
No.
Maybe
I don't see any in there.
I thought he had a weird.
I see the Screen Actors Guild in here, but like, that was for American Hustle, and that was for the entire ensemble performance. Mm-hmm. So yeah, no, I don't see an Oscar in here for Michael Pena. Like Michael Pena, though. All right, there's your daily dose of Michael Pena. If you don't know who we're talking about, just Google Michael Pena.
You'll recognize him immediately,
and they'll be like, "Oh yeah, I know that guy.
Yeah, he's in a million things."
I know that guy. great text. Your 23andMe. They make a bunch of soldiers. It's like, this sounds like a parody of Universal Soldier. It's like Universal Soldier and Solo, the movie Solo. They create. They're like, oh damn.
God, was that Mario Van Peebles?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
That was a great movie. All right, let's get this show on the road. We got a ton that we need to get into. God,
it's a newsy day.
Yeah. Dion is staying in Boulder. We got a head coach fired in the NBA. We've got the Blazers. They're out of it. Whatever that was. Not surprising.
No. Crazy college basketball.
Crazy college basketball, but the Lakers melted down in spectacular fashion. And you can always sign me up for a good old-fashioned Lakers meltdown. But where we got to start is with that crazy basketball. We ended the show yesterday. The most exciting game of the Sweet 16 on Thursday night. What would it be? Boy, it lived up to it. In tonight's slate, we got some good games, too, mm-hmm. Where the SEC may just dominate the Elite Eight. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Wild night of basketball in the Sweet 16 of the NCAA Men's Tournament. You asked the question yesterday at the very end of our show, which game is going to be the most exciting basketball game? Most intrigue behind it. And for a half, you were right with Maryland and Florida, because for a half, the Crab Five and the Terps, they were game for Florida. Then they got wore down, and it looked like a team that unraveled at the end. Like, it was just like, the end is near. They were tired, and Florida just kept leaning. And now we'll see what happens with Maryland's coach, Kevin Willard, which we will revisit, because some sleuthing has pulled a common thread.
Ah.
And it's a doozy. We had our first overtime game of the tournament, though, and what a finish to that Arkansas-Texas Tech game. 85-83 in overtime. This is how the Hogs blew a 16-point lead.
Hawkins will give it to Williams. Dribbles over on the right side. Williams trying to back it against Knox. Into the paint. Turns baseline. Pump fake. Puts it up off the glass and in! 7.3 to go. Texas Tech up two. Here comes Wagner up the right side. 3 seconds left. Wagner driving right. Behind his back. Launches a 20-footer for the tie. No! It's over! Texas Tech has won! Texas Tech is going to the Elite Eight!
A flurry at the end, and John Calipari leaves the tournament with a timeout in his pocket.
So there's a couple things in here. John Calipari in his career, when leading by six or more at halftime, I think the line was he's 35-0.
That seems really good for him.
Yeah,
and so, he was up seven.
Yeah, it was the first game he had blown with a 6 point or more lead at halftime in his career. Look, the
yikes, dog.
I'm actually pro not using a timeout in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let it settle. Make the defense try to pick some stuff up. We'll talk about it in a little bit. It's the Giddy situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit of a scramble, but there was some direction there. In college, sometimes it's better because the kids can't create, because DJ Wagner was a high-level recruit, did not go well for him last year, followed Cal down to Arkansas. DJ Wagner said it's DJ Wagner time, and that entire possession was a train wreck.
It was an unmitigated disaster. And that was the thing, is that, like, I don't necessarily have a problem with him not immediately calling the timeout, but once they crossed half court, you could tell it was helter-skelter.
Yeah.
Call that timeout, because you're going to be going back to Fayetteville with it, and that's what he did.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the only thing that kind of was like, damn, Coach Cal.
When he got doubled and he didn't move the ball immediately, that's when, if you're going to do it, it's right there, because it's like, because you knew at that point in time when he didn't move the ball, you weren't going to get a good shot out of it.
But the unraveling was far more than that. And we talked about this yesterday, right? These coaches that are playing more tempo style, an NBA style of basketball, that's something that Cal has always preached with why his guys go and play for him, right? Is that trust, the way that you play, it's going to be getting you ready for your next journey in the next mission. Well, that not calling a timeout, especially after they jumped him at half court, that's a big reason why. And there's no guarantees with the way that the end of that game went that they were going to draw something up out of a set and
get a good look. Yeah,
because Texas Tech was all over him.
Yeah, I mean, the thing we talked about going into that game is, you know, is Adoo Thiroux going to be available? Well, he was, but he played 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And guess what happened? JT Toppin happened.
And then Darian Williams happened.
Yes,
Darian Williams hitting that shot to take the eventual game winner. That shot, he was 2 of 15 from the field at the 12:40 mark.
And he finished 8 of 26.
In the second half. He went 6 of 11 mm-hmm. from the 12:40 mark on, had 15 of his 20 points mm-hmm. were in that final 12 minutes and 40 seconds. He turned into a different player, hit a big three, and then went down, hit the two. That was the eventual game winner. Darian Williams, while all the focus was on Toppin, finally woke up in that final stretch of the game.
Yeah, and on the flip side of it, for Arkansas, Wagner and Davis just could not hit anything.
Yeah,
and it was like because if you look up and down the box score, and if you like, there's the way the game feels, and then the way the game actually is in the tracking, and you're like, yeah, it feels like everybody else is hitting shots except for those two guys, and I mean, they couldn't manufacture anything in the final 7 minutes.
No, and like everything that went well for Arkansas early flipped on its head because it wasn't just Darian Williams waking up. But Elijah Hawkins mm-hmm. was turning the ball over left and right. And then all of a sudden, he became more of a factor in the final stretches. Not as like a volume scorer, but at one point in the game, Jeff Goodman pointed this out. Elijah Hawkins was 0 of 9 from the field, 0 of 6 from 3, and had 5 turnovers.
Yeah.
He cleaned it up and buttoned things up
knocked
at the
down
end.
Knocked down the 3, didn't turn the ball over.
And boom. Everything that was going wrong went right for Grant McCaslin and the Texas Tech Red Raiders, and they are now dancing on to the Elite Eight, and we now no longer have any double-digit seeds in the tournament.
Crazy.
Pour one out for the double-digit seeds.
Yep. No Cinderellas.
Yeah, it would have been a stretch to call Cal and
Arkansas
his horde of five stars.
Yeah. I mean, just off the top of my head, I think Thero was a five star. Fland was. Wagner was. Carter Knox, if he wasn't, he was right on the edge. So, four?
Four of them.
Dang. Not all five stars are created equal.
No, they're not. But one that is definitely not the same as everybody else is Cooper Flagg. And Cooper Flagg and Caleb Love, they put on an absolute show last night. That was it. The final score, not what that game had in it. 100-93. It had a little bit of everything, and Caleb Love put that team on his back, mm-hmm. but they were no match for Cooper Flagg and the Duke Blue Devils. We will get to that, but first, we have Big Will Betts with a SportsCenter update.
Offensive rebound double secured by Gillis and Duke. Flagg pushing, looks at the clock, fires a three, down it goes. Cooper Flagg beats the buzzer at the end of the first half.
That was a call on CBS as Cooper Flagg and the Duke Blue Devils hit that three going into the break. And that was the moment where you went, oh boy, this one may be over for the Arizona Wildcats. They led 48-42 at the break when Cooper Flagg at the buzzer pulled up, and it was in rhythm.
From the logo.
Just calm as can be. He dribbled across half court with like 2.5 seconds left, takes a peek at the clock and just drills it. That was a sign of things to come for Arizona in the second half, where it just wasn't going to be enough. Because as hard as Arizona played, it always felt like Cooper Flagg and the Duke Blue Devils were under control in that game. That was one of the most special performances of a player that we've seen in the NCAA tournament, and that was only in the Sweet 16 for the freshman.
Yeah, the line that Cooper Flagg finished with is a line that no player in college basketball has ever finished with in the NCAA tournament. 30 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 blocks, and a steal on 9 of 19 shooting, 3 of 5 from 3, 9 of 10 from the free throw line. If you have questions about him, or you're like, I don't know if he can be the number one guy on a team, go with God. I don't know what else you need to see. I truly do not understand what people see and go, I'm not sure about X.
Yeah.
The way he started the season, like, I don't know if he can create for himself. He creates for himself. I don't know if he can shoot. He can shoot. I don't know if he can get to the line or get to the rim consistently with his handle. He does that. I don't know. It's like he's answered every single freaking question. What he did last night was out of this freaking world, man.
If you want to put like a label on how special that night was, So he had 30 points, and he's the first person to have the 35, 5, and 3, right, with three blocks. The last person to do that with 25 points, and the only other person to do that, Dwayne Wade, in the Elite Eight in 2003 against Kentucky.
When he smashed Kentucky, and that was the breakout of, oh my God, this dude at Marquette is something special.
And so Cooper Flagg was on his own level, but Caleb Love...
He Caleb loved hard.
He was on a planet of its own. Caleb Love, and I thought it was great, because Clark Kellogg said this before the game, and he hit the nail on the head. He said, Caleb Love is the Jimmy Butler of college basketball, where in the regular season, he is a really good player, but when it means the most, Caleb Love turns into something different. And he's like one of the best players in the country. You saw that from Caleb Love. ESPN stats and info. Love is the first player with 35 points and zero turnovers against a one seed in the NCAA tournament since Michael Finley in 1994. He scored 15 points in a row. In a row for Arizona. It was like when nobody else could find their shot or find the rhythm, Caleb Love was just saying, if we're going to win, it's going to be on my back. And he tried his damnedest, but that's just how good that Duke team is, because it's impossible to defend Cooper Flagg when he is driving down the lane and you have to commit two people to him. And then he's just throwing lobs up to their big, just time and time again.
Working as a creator.
And he's got such a good feel for everything that's around him. That's how I felt watching Cooper Flagg. Like, you just go, whoa, this kid is different. And Caleb Love tried everything he could to be just as dominant.
This isn't just the Cooper Flagg love fest, but I was talking to some scouts last night back and forth as we were watching the game. And it's funny how the transition has gone from, like, he's a more offensive-minded Andre Kirilenko, Sean Marion type to, is he better Jason Tatum?
Yeah, I saw somebody, it was Nate Jones, he put out, Cooper Flagg is Jason Tatum with more flair, and he's got more dog in him.
Yeah.
That's terrifying. And that right there is like what Jason Tatum might be missing.
Yeah. Oh, look, the one of the scouts I was talking with, he goes, do you think that Cooper Flagg can be the best player in the NBA? I go, probably not, but I think he can be Tatum-esque in the sense of, like, I think he can be one of the four or five best players for a decade.
Yeah.
Which
is a Hall of Fame career.
That's a Hall of Famer. Like, that's kind of where I see him falling in. Like, I don't think he's ever going to average 28 a game, but I could very easily see him being like 24, 8-6, just putting up sideways numbers while also being one of the best defensive players in the league.
What is it that is going to hold him back then when he does get to the NBA? Because we've seen guys come through college and be like, nah, he's going to be really damn good. He's going to be great. Is it as simple as if Washington or Charlotte get the number one overall pick?
Yes, because it's for me, the player comp that I'm going more towards for him isn't Tatum. I go to Tatum because of his size and the way he moves. But I think, number one, Cooper's more fluid than Tatum. Like, one of the quote-unquote criticisms. It's not a criticism. It's just a – when I think about – when I watch Jason Tatum, the aesthetic of Jason Tatum is not – like, his jumper is very awkward looking. He's very stiff looking, even though he is very fluid. It's just not aesthetically pleasing. Cooper just kind of glides around things, and he reminds me of Kawhi. Kawhi's never going to lead the league in scoring, but when you talk about, like, holding somebody, but what's going to hold him back, I don't think there's necessarily something that holds him back. I don't think he's the best scorer. I don't think he's the best creator. I don't think he has the best handle, but I think he's great at every – like, he doesn't have a weakness. Like, Kawhi does not have – Kawhi, when healthy, Kawhi's weakness is health. Kawhi, when healthy, doesn't have a weakness.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Cooper is going to be. And I think those are the guys like Tatum. Tatum doesn't really have a weakness.
Yeah. I wonder what I wonder what Cooper Flagg will look like, because the times that we have seen him struggle, and it's really hard because the ACC was down and they don't have the star power that they've had in years past, right, is when he has to guard the other star, right, on that defensive end.
Yep.
Because he is fluid. His athleticism, you can see he's very athletic.
Yes.
But it doesn't pop out at you. What does that look like when he's guarding a bona fide A-plus on the other side?
I think the thing that I watch there for me is the reason his athleticism doesn't pop like crazy, he's never out of position because he has a supercomputer for a brain. It's like it's the same thing with Kawhi.
Yeah.
Kawhi's athleticism doesn't pop out because he's not out of position.
Yeah.
He's always in the right spot. He reads basketball better than anyone.
Yeah.
Like, I always preface this. I know I'm prone to hyperbole and all that kind of stuff. I've never seen a kid like him.
Yeah.
In 14 years, I've never seen the combination of talent, IQ, and dogging him per 36 in anyone.
In the way that Duke played last night, man, I know that. And we'll talk about Alabama and their historic night shooting.
What a night!
Duke shot 57% from three.
Yeah.
Duke, like, good luck. Good luck. And their bigs got into foul trouble early in that game. Like, they had an advantage with the bigs because, you know, Arizona is down to Awaka, and that was it for their bigs. They both of the Duke bigs got into foul trouble, and they're like, all right, well, fine. We'll just shoot 57.9% from three. And then that opened everything else up in the middle. That team is going to be insanely hard to beat. And little silver lining here, it was cool to see Malik Brown play even 4 minutes in that game.
Look, we played the audio from John Shire about him being available.
Yeah.
I imagine he, you know, throws on the harness and does what he needs to do. And then it was, I'm going to give it a go, see what happens. And then it was, sorry, coach.
Yeah. And I mean, it's going to take some time, and he does not trust that shoulder. But this thing with dislocated shoulders, that labrum is gonzo and ain't coming back until he gets surgery or he does some serious rehab for the muscles around the labrum. He'll get surgery. But basically where he's at right now is, do you trust yourself to go out and play? And you could see he didn't, but it was cool to get, he got minutes in the NCAA tournament. But I hate to see a guy go down with an injury like that, and that just derails all of his dreams. So it was just great to see Malik Brown in the tournament. What is up next, though, is the Alabama Crimson Tide. And whoa, Nelly, what a show the Crimson Tide put on from beyond the arc. We said it was all gas, no brakes. That was a runaway freight train going down the tracks all across BYU last night. In that first game, whoa, Alabama. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Sears nails a three. There's a new NCAA record for three-pointers made by a team in the tournament. 22 of them for Alabama.
Scott Graham on the call for Westwood One as the Alabama Crimson Tide steamrolled BYU 113-88, fueled by a 51 performance from beyond the arc.
Yeah, when you get great NBA three-point shooting, it's going to be a long night, especially when Mark Sears goes 10 of 16 from three.
It was a clinic put on by Alabama last night. I mean,
he took 1-2.
We had talked about how hard it was going to be for either team to slow anybody else down. Mm-hmm. And look, it's not like Alabama played great defense. BYU got good looks in the first half, and they were 1 of 12 from beyond the arc.
Yeah, neither Demon nor Nell could hit a three.
It was, you're sitting there looking at it going, if those fall at half, BYU, if a couple of them fall, BYU's only down four.
Yeah.
Right? As it was, they couldn't hit the broadside of a barn from beyond the arc. And it was a 9-point lead, and or been two more fall. It's a 3-point lead going into the break, and you're looking at it completely different. But the Avalanche just continued in that second half, and Nate Oates' squad, the tempo that they played with, BYU just looked bamboozled, and they looked tired going up and down the floor. And that's a team that plays with pace, too. Yeah.
No, I mean, the Nate Oates' guys just they just got out there and got it done. And when Sears is doing that, mm-hmm. there's just you're when a single player is breaking your defense that egregiously in the NBA, it's difficult to compensate. In college basketball, good freaking luck.
No,
good luck.
I think if you were to ask anybody heading into that game, like, "Hey, BYU scores 88," you'd be like, "Oh, hey, pretty good chance they won." Nope, they lose.
No, you're feeling pretty comfortable. And you definitely are.
They don't just lose. They lose emphatically. They lose by 25 points. And now you have a matchup with Alabama and Duke. And this is going to be a really fun matchup between these two because of the fact that you have shooters on one side and you have like that complete team basketball. But guess what else they got? They got them shooters too. We talked about this. Like, if Alabama comes into that game and they're like, "We're just going to be chucking and Sears is hitting," Duke took only 19 threes, mm-hmm. but they hit 11 of them.
Yeah.
They went 11 of 19 from beyond.
They're not short on shooting.
And that's going to be a heavyweight slugfest in tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, the other side of this, too, is you have to remember is when you're talking about Oklahoma, you're talking about the smallest backcourt in the country in Sears and Aiden Holloway. Holloway's listed at 6'1". He's 5'10 and a half.
All right.
Like, he's...
Well, Mighty Mites.
He was here for Hoop Summit.
Mm-hmm.
Was it 2 years ago? Post COVID, whatever that was, and his measurements were not published.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I was standing next to him. I'm like, "We're the same size, dude. How is this gonna work for you?"
It works pretty well.
Turns out it works for him because he can shoot the living hell out of the ball.
Turns out he's doing pretty well.
But Sears also is listed at 6'1".
Yeah.
When you were watching Mark Sears last night, did you have any feeling he was 6'1"?
No.
But they're able to compensate because they can both just break you.
Yeah.
Shooting that three ball.
Look, and that is the part about Duke that is terrifying is that
they're huge.
They go, anybody that actually plays is 6'5" or taller. Yeah.
They're built like an NBA team. They legitimately are. Their size is NBA big.
They have six guys 6'9" or taller.
Yeah. I mean, there's times when Con Knipple is running their offense and he's 6'7".
Con Knipple. Now, this just may be me saying, all right, white guy plays for Duke. He has a striking resemblance to Michael Dunleavy Jr. Am I wrong? Am I wrong in that?
It's fire hydrant Mike Dunleavy.
Yeah.
There's like, a lot, like, he's got the Easter Island head.
Yeah, he's got the jaw, the hair, yeah. mm-hmm. the hair too. He is very Mike Dunleavy Jr.-esque.
Except he probably weighs 25 pounds more than Mike did in college.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, though.
But you look at him, you're like, mm-hmm. I've seen you before. Mm-hmm. I know you. You're another one of those Duke whites.
Con strikes me as a guy that's going to have a better career than Mike, though.
Yeah.
And again, Mike was a good NBA player.
He was a really good NBA.
Long-time high-end role player.
Do you think Con Knipple will be as good as a GM as Mike Dunleavy Jr.?
I mean, it's kind of falling bass-ackwards into greatness, but sure.
Whoa. Come on.
Come on, no. Hey, he did swing the Jimmy Butler deal, so good for him.
See?
Yeah.
Huh?
Not bad.
Right?
Got off Andrew Wiggins' contract and gave him a meh pick.
And Con Knipple is a very Duke name.
Oh, God, yes.
Like, it's like... my kids... really thought it was great that there was a guy named Knipple out there.
Mm-hmm.
Obvious reasons.
Oh, yeah.
I got a good chuckle out of it, myself. He is really damn good, though. And I think Cooper Flagg
overshadows him
a ton. And that is also terrifying about this Duke team, mm-hmm. is that they have a guy that would be, if Coach K coached this Duke team, everybody would hate Con Knipple,
mm-hmm.
because he is feisty. He's strong, and he's really damn good.
You know what's crazy is? These are the last three great players to come out of Milwaukee. Con Knipple, Tyrese Halliburton, Tyler Herro.
No, that's a pretty good list.
Good God, man.
That's a good living.
What are they doing up there?
Well, it's Algonquin for the good land.
Goodness gracious.
Milwaukee.
It's turning into a basketball hotbed.
Where is he, like, in the NBA draft range right
7 now? Through 12. So there are people that love him.
Yeah.
And there are people that are like, eh, he's maybe, like, stronger, better ball handling Kevin Huerter. And I'm like, I mean, stronger, better ball handling Kevin Huerter's a really good player.
Blazer.
Look, if the Blazers are picking that range, what's the thing they need?
Con Knipple.
Well, shooting.
Con Knipple.
And think about this, too. He's not a great defender, but he is, like you said, he is strong. He is very strong. He's listed at 217. I bet you at the combine, he's 225, 228.
Let's go.
He's a fire hydrant, man. He has, like,
I like it.
There's the talk, you know, like, oh, he's not in shape. Or no, he's just a Wisconsin farm boy.
Yeah.
Like, he's just a thick dude. Like, it's really interesting. You look around the NBA anymore. How many guys are really skinny?
Not a lot.
A lot of these guys are built, man, because you got to be big enough to take the contact. And he's a guy that likes contact. When I'm scouting guys, I always look for guys that – it was one of my negative marks on Alex Sarr. Didn't like contact.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting a little bit better at it, and that's why I think you're seeing him get better this year.
Yeah.
Con likes putting his shoulder into you. Yeah. Con likes getting into you defensively.
Okay.
And so when I look at him, I go, he's more than the Kyle Korver, Kevin Huerter, like run around the perimeter off ball type. Like, he's got some on ball juice. I'm probably higher on him than not all, but more. I would have him up towards the 7-8 range as opposed to the 9 or the 11-12 range.
All right. Well, Duke Bama, sign me up. It's going to be a fun one tomorrow.
That's going to be a fun game.
That's going to be a great game. Coming up in hour number two, we will dive into the Blazers of whatever that was that we saw in Sacramento last night. But where we got to start is yesterday, the buzz around college basketball was Kevin Willard, the Maryland head coach. And is he the Villanova head coach, or is he sticking around in Maryland? His response after the game, if he is the next Villanova head coach, you got bigger questions than answers. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
When you have to duck walk across a tile cave butt naked in front of 80-year-old doctors, and they've poked and prodded every part of you, you just don't care anymore.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.